I have a quickening when I'm sharing the gospel or when I'm just participating in the work of helping to enlighten. There's just that thing that's down on the inside that reassures us that God is in it and He has commissioned and commanded us to do His work.
On In Good Faith, we believe that all faith traditions have something to teach us about how God is working in the world and in our lives. So join us as we listen and learn. Welcome to today's episode of In Good Faith. If there's a question that comes up a lot for religious people, it might be, how do you know what you know?
How do you know that He really loves you? Sorry.
Copyright.
I had never actually thought of that as a gospel
She's
song.
She's a gospel singer.
I know. But
she
it's
comes out of
totally,
gospel.
How do you know? So singing and on backups today is senior producer Heather Bigley.
Hello.
And we have not yet heard, but I'm sure she's waiting to bust a move or something any moment, is student producer Leah King.
Hello, Steve.
Leah's actually a professional singer. I don't know
yeah,
that you
King
know
King Family
that.
Band,
you know
shout out.
Her?
I was in a family band in high school. I was a singer, and my dad played guitar, and my sister played bass, and my mom also sang.
Awesome.
It was fun.
Daddy sang bass, mom sang tenor,
me little brother and tenor.
Yep. Okay. Anyway, hey, we can sing to everything today. That's all.
Are we using any of that? So we are going to get to how will I know? How do I know? How do they know? And it's not the same answer for different people. And so a couple of our guests, you just heard an opening quote from Sam Wilkinson, who's a professor of psychiatry. We'll get to him in the second half talking about how he feels we evolved to serve each other and to know things about that, which I think is really interesting. And our first two guests are a pastor and a reverend married to each other, Dr. Welton Smith III and Reverend Deborah R. Smith. We spoke to them in Las Vegas, where they serve a community there and congregation.
So Dr. Smith is the pastor of the Greater Evergreen Missionary Baptist Church in Las Vegas and is involved in AIDS awareness and men's health issues. And Reverend Deborah Smith, she focuses on women's issues and education. And I love how she talks about her women's ministry. It really cheered me, I have to say.
And listen for some memorable phrases. Topside the grass. Love them back to life. These guys, they can spin a phrase,
yeah. And
they're quite memorable. And I started off with Deborah Smith because as a kid, I knew no lady reverends, no women who were in clergy at all. And just interesting to me how soon she felt that call, and it was soon.
I grew up in Richmond, Virginia. I am the product of two hardworking, beautiful Christian mother and father. And not really knowing at the time, but my pastor said if there was a such thing as a woman preacher, you would be one.
Said that to you.
Yes, because during that time, which wasn't that long ago,
amen,
women were not exactly included in the ministry.
Right.
We could do the pew work, as I like to call it. But there was a call on my life as a young child before I even knew a Welton Smith.
So did you feel a connection with God all that time?
Yes.
Since you were young?
Yes. I grew up in a church where we were taught the early walk with Christ. So it's in my early years that I really fell in love with this man named Jesus.
Amen.
And along my life experiences, as we all have, is when the pull for ministry became crystal clear after doing many different things, teaching and singing and everything else. And then the Lord said, come on up a little higher. I got something else for you. So I'm excited that He uses my voice from time to time to speak to His people.
Pastor Welton, we grew up in sort of the same time. And so your wife just talked about the women weren't invited to the pulpit
right. At
that time. And so when you were on your course and you met her, was that a new thing to you? Or what did you think?
God is truly amazing. God is truly amazing. As God moves, He always prepares you for the journey before you even get to the road. And I grew up in a church in Detroit, Michigan. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. And I grew up under a pastor who was definitely against women in ministry. However, God works mysterious ways. Under Pastor Moore, he had about 19 or 20 preachers to come to be birthed under his ministry. But his granddaughter came to him and said, "Granddaddy, I've been called to preach." He knew his granddaughter, of course, from birth. He watched her grow. He knew what was in her. God spoke to him and told him that his granddaughter had been called. And so he gave her opportunity to preach the gospel. It would open the doors and the eyes for 19 young teenagers who would watch a young lady come in and outdo us all. in presentation, in content, in spirit, in delivery, and we could not deny the Spirit of God, yes, Lord, in her.
Yeah.
So when I finally went off to college and then to grad school, and the Lord allowed me to meet this young lady, I saw what she had already put down. I said, honey, I see the Lord moving in you, that you're going to carry the gospel. And then the time finally came when she accepted her call. And it reminds me of the story of Eli. He knew it all the time. So I knew that she had this calling on her. Matter of fact, her grandmother was a strong believer. And I believe that she was not only a missionary, but that she was a messenger herself, but in a time period where women were not allowed to share the gifts in residence as God had given them, but they could not deny the power thereof.
I'd love to ask each of you to maybe pick out a moment, whether it was facilitating in the military, being at a church pulpit, whatever it might be, where you felt some confirmation like, God is in this, and this tells me I made the right choice. I started down the path. Just how you saw God working through you.
Well, I know for me personally, I have a quickening when I'm sharing the gospel or when I'm just participating in the work of helping to enlighten, whether it's male, female. My passion is women. So from the many areas that God has allowed me to serve, the women prison facilities, to the military, to help marriages be reconnected, there's just that thing that's down on the inside that reassures us that God is in it. And He has commissioned and commanded us to do His work. And so even on the days when we don't feel like it, there's the spirit of I can't help it, because that's who I am.
So the Holy Spirit is, those are the words I would use.
Yes.
You feel that quickening.
Yes.
I love that word. That was
yes.
a beautiful word to
yes.
describe that coming alive.
Yes, the igniting of a fire when we just begin to talk about, as today, when we're able to come to tables and have conversations and become the people that God intends us to be.
How about you, Pastor?
There are so many moments. I know we have chronological time and kairos, but when I look at the kairotic time of my journey and retrospect and also in the immediate, I have to say that God's confirmation has been consistent. From the sermon I preached last week to us being on time today. I remember when I was a young man, I was called to preach, and I took the calling seriously. I was thankful. I remember my first question to God, because I believe you're not truly called until you question God. Because if you don't question the calling, you may really be moving on your own power. Because really what God calls you to do is much more than you are capable of, much more than you would ask yourself of.
So you should question, because be more than you could do alone.
No. When God calls you, you will question.
You will question.
Because when He calls you to something that is much larger than you are, deeper than you are, that you have no experience thereof, that you had not planned for from your inception? Yeah. Yeah, you'll question that. My first question was after I had preached my trial sermon. I think I was 17 years old. But I really had a question, and I really was kind of arrogant with my questioning of God. Because I said, God, my pastor asked me to preach again after the church had gone out to another church in a different city, come back that evening, and he wanted me to preach. And I said, okay. And I came back, and I preached a sermon. I thought it was masterful. The sermon was taken from a text in Exodus where it says, I've heard the cry of taskmasters, of my children, and I've come down to deliver them by reason of taskmasters. And I preached a sermon, or tried to preach a sermon, entitled When God Comes Down. Now, this is the problem. In my prayer and preparation for the sermon, I said, God, if you have called me to preach, I know people were excited when I preached my first sermon, but if you've really called me to preach, I want you to really do it this second time. I want to see people standing up. I want to see people saved, walking down the aisles. I want to see people shouting and crying. Now, 50 years later, I know theologically God does not have to come down because he already is where he already was. And he shall be where he already shall be. So there's theologically, the entire piece was incorrect. God does not come down. He is down. But what happened during the presentation, I preached a sermon. No one shouted. No one said amen. No one clapped their hands. No one cried. At the end of the sermon, I was the only one crying. And my pastor looked at me and he said, boy, come back here tonight and preach again. And I said, I don't want to preach again. So come back tonight. I did everything I could to get away from getting back to the church on time. Service started at 7 o'clock, and my pastor had a rule. If you got there at 7:01, you would sit out in the back of the church. I got there purposely at 7:15. He said, Tommy, everybody know you're here. Come on up. And he had me preach. I preached a sermon I have never been able to preach again. It's entitled The Midas Touch. Mm. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Again, the sermon was sound. People said amen. No one was shouting, but the person who was crying was me. Because the Holy Spirit, everything I asked God to do to everybody else, he did in me. And for me, that has been confirmation of my calling. But he has confirmed my steps. As the Bible says, the steps for good men are ordered by the Lord. That's the confirmation of every step of a leader.
Your journeys have brought you here to Las Vegas, not where you grew up, and not where most people think of, I should go to Las Vegas and find a nice church there.
No.
But the people who live here in the communities, they're wonderful people. We only hear about the neon lights and the shows and all the glitz, but there are so many just regular people going around their lives and needing God in their lives.
Yep. Right.
You talked about your passion working with women.
With women. Mm-hmm.
And tell me what kind of a ministry that is.
At Greater Evergreen, we have the WOW Ministry, Women of Worship. Mm. And we believe one of the strongest, most exciting women's ministries in the Valley. And our focus is on all women, changing one sister, one life at a time. Mm-hmm. Because the truth of the matter is that if you really want the work to be done, you need some women at the table.
Amen.
But also along with that, we come equipped with all layers of experiences. Mm-hmm. Many of us come from different sides of the sidewalk. Not everyone's story is a Cinderella story. And so our impact is to embrace every woman and to affect change, not just within the walls of the building,
Amen.
But everywhere we go. We encourage women to look at yourself in the mirror, first of all, and know that it's good, mm-hmm. that you are enough. And to those, whoever we encounter along our journey, we're to be lifters of one another.
Mm-hmm.
There is enough negative in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us come, again, out of different experiences.
Yeah.
But if we're still alive, if we're still topside the grass, it's another opportunity to make a difference.
Amen.
So that's my passion.
You've had these journeys that started with the church and the Spirit with you, involved with you from the very mm-hmm. beginning. And yet, you said from all different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So when you speak to women in your ministry, for mm-hmm. instance, and they say, well, I was taught, I believed, but I don't feel it. I don't feel the connection, or are my prayers going past the ceiling? Mm-hmm. Or to, mm-hmm. to try and make that connection that you've had, what do you say, or how do you guide them?
I find that, especially today, many people don't have the rope of hope. Things have happened to cause our belief system to go dormant. As you just said, this Jesus that we learned about as children, the Jesus who loves us, who protects us, who keeps us, who makes a way, because of moments, that's what causes our pilot light to sometimes dim. But I say, I encourage women, you went through that, but you're still here. Today is another opportunity. And I find that the way to show Christ is to show Christ by our action. We have the gift and ability to love people back to life.
Mm. Yes.
Oh, there's a phrase.
Yes.
To love people
back to life.
Back to life. Regardless, you'd be surprised what a hug does, what a good morning does.
Hello.
Just a hello, just to sit down and to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We are the light bearers. And so for those who don't quite feel it right now, we invite you to just come on. Just jump in one more time. And so that's the message. It's a very basic message, not always big theology message. Sometimes people just need to hear that we care or that we've been through the same thing. I had those shoes on.
Hmm.
I've been there, done that, and it's going to be all right. So that's the message that we tend to share with women.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. There's enough to do to look after a congregation.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough to do. But to be involved as you are in the interfaith opportunities here in the area, I wonder if you could tell me, Pastor, what things can be accomplished or need to be accomplished by working together that way?
I think working together is mandatory in the times in which we live in.
Yes.
I can't see any other particular pathway than if we're looking for community, a real community, coming together of all parts, places, even factions, and it's necessary. I don't see how we can do it in isolation. And that has been the devil's playground. Isolation, separation, and division. Those three dark angels don't foster community, and they don't allow us to be progressive in any particular way except in being more isolated, more separated, and more divided. I can mow my own grass. I can plant my own seed. I can raise my own flower garden. But if I'm only looking at my yard, not only is my vision limited, the joy of my experience, of experience exactly what God has made, is also limited, which limits my progress, my movement, my activity. If I'm isolated, I'm only moving in a certain area, but if I open myself up, the whole world is an oyster. And I think that's what God intended for us, to have dominion, not over each other, but over the world. And for that, East has to meet West, North, South, and everybody in between. For this thing about coming together, it's really something that we've been doing for so many years. It's something that would be unethical and out of character not to do. The thing that keeps us separated is a small word, the word fear, all kinds of strange fears.
And isolation breeds that because we don't know, quote, the other.
Right.
I'm Stephen Cap Perry, and you're listening to In Good Faith. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You know, there are no perfect people, and there are no perfect families, and no perfect relationships. So how do we be good people and have good relationships and good families? How do we do better at what is most important to us? I'm here to tell you about The Lisa Show, another in the family of BYU Radio podcasts. Lisa Valentine Clark is a comedian, a believer, a single mother. She delves into the challenges and the relationships that shape all of our lives, whether we're talking about parenting, mental health questions, social issues, being a caregiver. She and her council of moms tackle the topic. Yes, you'll hear from experts, but you'll also hear from the people who have been digging the trenches. She'll help you figure out this thing called life with lots of laughs along the way. It's The Lisa Show. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to In Good Faith. We're chatting right now with Reverend Deborah and Pastor Welton Smith from the Greater Evergreen Missionary Baptist Church in Las Vegas.
Maybe that partially answers a question I really wanted to ask, which was, we tend to think of progress as always moving forward. We hope things are always getting a little better. We're learning. And yet, it hasn't been a steady forward march. In fact, has there been a little bit of a retraction lately in the last few years? Maybe that's just me seeing that nationally. I wonder, I'm just curious what you think about that.
You want me to say something? You want to go first?
You take I'm, that what?
You know what? This, I'm so glad you asked that question. Because until the Lord returns, certain things are not going to change. History, technology, our ability to move forward is always going to progress. But man's internal nature, it goes in cycles from crazy to conservative to moderate to liberal to crazy again. And when you watch this world and you see how we're moving, the only constant in this crazy, sickening nature that goes in a circular pattern that we call humanity, the only constant is the agape love of God.
Amen.
Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails.
Amen.
That's the only reason why we have viability in this crazy world.
Yeah.
Because of the constant of who God is agape love. Love never fails.
So whether it's forward or backward or sliding, spinning around, you hold to those.
Yes.
Love keeps it moving away from the crazy, even though it goes back to the crazy. It's going to go back to the crazy. And because we get lazy and we think, okay, I've washed the dishes, they will not get dirty again until they're used, till somebody puts something on them. And we feel that the house is clean now. Oh, we can rest. It's going to get dirty again. That's the nature of man is the same.
There's this question of how, if people can put their finger on why they believe. Because it's not a thing you prove to other people. It's not something you can take out and say, sure, try this on for a minute and see what it's like. There's a reason why you believe.
I believe because I know that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe in my heart that he died for my sins. I believe because I see the trees flower and I see the grass grow. I know that there is a God because I breathe the breath of life each and every day. And I give him glory for it. And I thank him. Amen. Amen.
Ooh. Amen. Thank you.
Ooh, that's not a good yes. Woo. Thank you, Lord.
Our youngest son was just married in Miami. He always asked his dad a question before he got married. He said, Dad, how did you know that mom was the one? I said, son, I just knew she was the one. He said, well, how will I know when I find the one God has for me? I said, son, you'll just know. It was last week in Miami when he spoke to me. He said, Dad, I remember that conversation we had when I asked you, how did you know mom was the one? He said, I had dated many girls, but then when I met Allison, his bride, he said, something clicked and I just knew. When you talk about your relationship with God, it is so intimate that it's almost secret to the outside world. All they see is the remnants and the sign that God leaves behind. I know
because of how he walks with me. And I'm not trying to preach.
Thank you, Lord.
But I know because everything I am, everything I have been, and I really hope to be, has been because of him.
Yes, Lord.
My livelihood has depended upon his goodness. The work I do, it's only supported by the power of God and those who see the signs. Because God's word speaks, but he speaks in signs and wonders, even yet today. He speaks in confirmation of all of us being here in this particular room at this particular time. He speaks. How he speaks interprets itself not in words, but it translates into emotions. And it speaks to our heart in such a way that it cannot be mistaken or denied. I like it when he signs his name to it. I'm thankful when he kisses the day with his presence, just to let us know, I'm with you.
That was Dr. Welton and Reverend Deborah Smith. And something I loved from the conversation with them is this idea that Steve mentioned of loving people back to life. I think in the last year, I've really tried to do this in every place that I've gone into. I learned from a close friend of mine to talk to people when you're at the grocery store or waiting in a long amusement line. And the secret that I've learned is to make them talk about themselves, because most people like talking about themselves. And it's usually something we know the best about. Like, we all know ourselves individually the best. And so I think that's a really powerful idea of saying hello to someone or giving someone a hug and just showing them that you care. Even if it's a complete and total stranger, it can really mean the world to them on a given day.
Something that really resonated with me, Leah, was when she said letting people know that you'd been in their shoes before.
Yeah.
I think oftentimes, well, I've been asked to be in women's local leadership for my congregation a couple of times. And I think, you know, at first I thought I'm supposed to be doing all this instructing. Actually, no. I'm supposed to be a listener. I'm supposed to be someone who can hear and can empathize, who can mourn, who can celebrate. And it's very rarely that I'm asked to say, no, you're wrong. And in fact, to do that at the wrong moment could break a heart. And so I just love that idea. Like, I can say to people, yeah, that's really hard what you're going through. And I, too, have felt that kind of painful experience in my life. And I didn't live up to it. I didn't have all the answers, and I didn't solve it the best way. And you're doing a good job. I think that's so helpful.
I have a little bit of, I guess I'll use the phrase holy envy, so I sound like a better person than I actually am, about how early they had a sense of mission and calling in life, and that it seemed clear that God had laid something on them to do.
Yeah.
And then the people around them seemed to feel like, yeah, it's true. I've had lots of support in my life for things I wanted to do, yeah, and parental support and friends and all the rest. But this was not an experience I've had, and I loved hearing about it. And I totally believe them. You know, I started off by saying, how do we know what we know? They just knew. That's how they knew. They just knew. That's what I get from that. And God spoke to them in the way that they understood. I love that. Many thanks to Welton and Deborah Smith for speaking with us. This episode was produced by Heather Bigley. Our production team also includes Leah King, Katerina Martinich, Josh Orton, and Ashton Rowan. Our post-production sound designers are Mark Hansen, Daniel Phillips, and Ashton Parkinson. In Good Faith is committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. If you like what we do here at In Good Faith, we hope you'll spread the word. Give us a good review wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Find us on Twitter at In Good Faith Pod, on Instagram and Facebook at In Good Faith Podcast, and the YouTube channel where you'll see some extras and extended interviews, youtube.com/@in-good-faith. In Good Faith is a production of BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry. I hope you join me again soon, right here in Good Faith.